We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fight, Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I guess this is where I say good morning. Not before, but this is where I say good morning. You know this is where I say good morning, Rev. Good morning.
Are we're good to go here?
I said good morning because I got the finger from Jay Harrison, not that finger, the index finger. That's the go finger.
How are you doing?
I intentionally didn't talk to you all weekend because I just wanted this to be just what's up, man? How's your weekend? How's it going over there? Are you losing your freaking marbles yet, buddy?
What can I say? Six people in a house, a dog, and I think I've been outside once. No joke. Like, really? Literally once. Yeah.
Yesterday was beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't get outside yesterday. I had too many things I was doing. You know what's great about, you know, being in this situation? Obviously, you know, you got to take, you know, the good with the bad. But man, am I clean in this house.
That's your thing, eh?
It's all I want to do is there's just stuff in the house that does not need to be here. And I'm just going through, I'm literally taking room by room and just organizing. And let me tell you, it feels great.
I did the old, I declothed my closet. I think it was I don't even know. I've lost complete track of time, to be totally honest with you. I just know that today's Monday. But I think it must have been Wednesday, maybe. Just so many things that I have that I just am just sitting in my house or in a bin. And I just went through all of it. All of it. I mean, just decluttered everything.
I did the same, but I'm doing it not only just in my closet, I'm doing it everywhere in the house.
I bet a lot of people are doing this. Like I bet there are a lot of people that are, you know, doing exactly what we're doing. You know what I'm doing right now is I'm just reading the, literally just clicked on. I do this kind of every morning. Live update, coronavirus cases, 341,000 cases globally. Are you following this? Like, are you dialed right into this? Because can I tell you something? I'll be the first one to tell you. I wasn't downplaying it, like saying, oh, it's just a cough. But I was like, how is something from Wuhan, China going to get to like Orchard Park or Erie County or Buffalo? And then boom, it's like 2 months later. This thing is like, shut the world down.
Yes.
Like every day that goes on and every day that more and more news comes out about how long this could last or whatever the case may be. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm in disbelief. every day, more and more each day, to be honest with you. Like, I don't even think shock has set in yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you
1 week into this.
Well, and many weeks to go. And for me, I think everyone was on red alert, listening to the news, reading all the articles, trying to figure out what the coronavirus is, you know, how bad is it? And you know what? The last couple of days, I've just shut it all off. I don't need to hear more. I know that this is going to be a long-term thing. We're going to be shut down for, a number of weeks, months. And it's time just to shut off the brain from the coronavirus and kind of, try and do some other things around that are useful.
I guess I should mention that we'll have, and I don't know if we've tweeted out from the Instigator account, but again, radio only today on WGR 550. But Ralph Krueger will join us. He's going to join us today. He's at what, 10:30? We have Kyle Oposo. Oki's going to join us. I think that's what they call him in the locker room, Oki.
Yep.
And Ralph Krueger from Switzerland at 11. He's got the webinar coming up Wednesday for the 400 coaches. So we can talk to him about that and what he's been doing in quarantine. And obviously, I'm going to find some kind of a World Economic Forum to throw at him, some kind of a question. You know how my brain works. But, you know, have you even been able to think about hockey?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I'm online just kind of like, checking, I check those sites. I don't go on the coronavirus and watch the news, the CNN, this, that, and the other. I've kind of turned off my brain. But still, you know, reading the articles that are coming out in the hockey world, just kind of, I've enjoyed going online and figuring out what players are doing on their time off and, how they're training and, how they're spending their time. It's actually been interesting.
So what have you found out? Who's doing what?
Well,
I think
one of the best one is our Buffalo native, Alex Iafallo. There's a video out on him where he has this drone, this thing that you can fly, and he takes a roll of toilet paper across all these houses where they're living and drops it on the rooftop of Jeff Carter's house because he needs some toilet paper. Just little things like
he's
that.
Lucky. Hey with the way toilet paper's been going lately, he's lucky that drone didn't get shot down.
No question.
Hey, but just someone didn't have like a slingshot or a BB gun or something, or throw a shoe at it, bring that thing out of the sky to grab their toilet paper. There was somebody near here where I live. I live out in Orchard Park. I walked into a store, and the store was fresh out of toilet paper, a little local store down the road. And some lady was in there just saying, "Hey, do you guys have toilet paper?" And the man's like, "No, we don't." She said some guy in a van like gave the street corner, and some guy's like selling toilet paper out of a van down. I was going to say down by the river for a Chris Farley joke, but down the road. That's how desperate they are. Anyway, sorry. Oh, so Iafallo did the video. What else have you seen?
Iafallo, another one. If you haven't seen this, go on Twitter and check out Cal Clutterbuck. He's at home with his kids, and he starts talking about how we need to give more praise to the child care workers and the teachers out there. And he's trying to explain. He's like, "I don't understand how you can, you know, be with kids all day long." And then all of a sudden his young kid comes up to him, smacks him in the face, knocks his glasses off. You have to see the expression on his face. It's absolutely priceless.
Okay, so I'm watching it right now. I can't hear it, obviously, because I'm watching it. But so how unreal is that house?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
Can we just start? I get the video. Yeah, I saw the expression. But oh, my. That looks like the house from Home Alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Right across the street, you're talking about.
And that's in Long Island, Riff. That's in Long Island?
Yes.
How much do you think that house is in Long Island?
It's a lot of money, Petey. It's a lot of money. Like, there's no question about it.
Like, I know guys that played in Long Island, and they were like, the real estate there is absolutely ridiculous. Like, the cost of living in Long Island is one of the worst places to play. And they wonder why they wonder why it's tough to get free agents and stuff to go there. And anyway.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd catch that in the video. Always looking at that guy's houses all the time.
Yeah.
What else have you seen?
Well, like, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You're asking me what have I been keeping up with the coronavirus news? Nah, you know, I try and stay away from it. Maybe touch up on it once a day. But just to see these videos that are coming out.
Second Sens player. Sorry, you want to talk about videos, but you see the second Sens players tested positive for the COVID-19?
Yes. And, you know, again, they do not disclose who that player is for the second time. So the Ottawa Senators, they had that trip that went out to San Jose, Anaheim, and L.A. So, you know, there was 52 people that traveled with the team for that trip, players, staff, you know, guests, the flight crew, and 44 of them on that trip has not shown symptoms, but there's 8 others that have been tested, but only 2, there's only 2 people that have been tested positive. So,
okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think they owe it to us to tell us? Like, the NBA is naming players left, right, and center. And I say left, right, and center. I mean, I only know of maybe 3 players, I think it has been, that I've heard of in the NBA. I'm sure there might be more, but.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they need to disclose that. I think that's going to be up to the team. Those players are going to be in quarantine anyway. They're not going to have any contact with anyone else, and they'll be monitored. But I don't think that the Ottawa Senators have to go out and tell everybody who the players are. I mean, it's their choice, right?
I don't know. I kind of think I want to know.
Yeah, you want to know doesn't mean that they have to tell you. I want to know every injury in the NHL, but they don't disclose all those, do they?
No, but okay, but isn't that what makes the NHL different from other leagues? I mean, so is the NBA wrong then for naming the players? Or, like, do you remember when we get his name, Rudy Gobert, I think his name was, the first player that tested positive? Right, so they named his teammate, and then I think another player, and they're all being named, and then there are doesn't the NFL list injuries like ankle injury, shoulder injury?
Yes.
Why? Why doesn't hockey do that? Like in the COVID 19 cases in Ottawa are. Just just more of an example of how guarded the NHL can be when it comes to injuries or information. And obviously certain information, sure. But, I mean, like Tom Hanks has come out and talked about testing positive. Like, why so secretive?
Be honest with you, I don't know. But it's their prerogative. They can do what they want with that information. If they want to put it out to the public, they can. If they don't, then so be it. I would prefer to know who the players are. It's like who was it? The 4 players off the New York was it the Nets? Was it the Nets that they had 4 players on the basketball team that tested positive, but they only told one player that tested it, and that was Kevin Durant. They didn't name the other 3 players.
Oh, that's right. Kevin Durant. So it is so in the rundown chat here, it says it has been argued that the NBA tested positive and made people more aware, made it more personal for people, and Tom Hanks as well. That was something else and that's exactly it. Like, I think that's exactly it. Like, we're all in this together. Talk about who the players are. Let the players can be supported. The team can offer support. But anyway, that's just where I stand on that. What about Sabres? We're talking to Kyle Oposo at 10:30, Ralph Krueger at 11. I'd love to know what Oposo's doing with his time, what Ralph Krueger's doing with his time. He's going to have a webinar on Wednesday for more than 400 coaches from 9 European hockey federations on Wednesday. I wonder if he gets nervous for that.
I want to know if I can get in on that. Like, how do you become one of the 400?
Well, I think probably you're asking me as if I know the answer. And I would have to say that, number one, you're not qualified.
What do you mean I'm not qualified?
What, are you just going to show up and say, I'm Craig Rive, played 923 regular season games in the show, let me on?
It's exactly what I'm going to say.
Coach of the elite superstardom Buffalo Junior Sabres, let me on.
There you go.
Are you writing all this down for your resume, for your permission slip to get on? Why don't you ask Ralph Krueger how you can get on?
I'm going to.
You're not really going to ask him on the air how you can get on, are you?
Yes, I am.
All right. I'd be curious to hear his answer to that. Do you think he would appreciate the sarcasm if I were to say to him, how come we didn't see Skinner on Jack's line last night?
Probably not going to go well there.
Why? I'm just being funny. There was no game last night, Rib. That's the joke.
Yeah, I get you.
The Sabres would have played the Hurricanes last night. That would have been last night's game. No, that's not true. That's last Sunday. That's the last time I logged on to NHL Network on this computer, or NHL.com on this computer. They would have played the Rangers in Buffalo last night.
Yeah. How much have you been reading up on NHL stuff? No, it was an interesting one that I read this morning. Is Tuukka Rask saying that he could retire after next season?
You know what? Can I tell you something? I've never really been a huge Tuukka Rask fan. I know he's a great goal. I know he's a very good goalie. Okay, but I think there's a lot of people in Boston and Boston Bruins fans that would be very happy with that. Every time the Bruins play, my billet dad from Oshawa, he'll call me. He'll message me and say, Tuukka Rask, you can't win with this guy, blah, 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 blah. Like, he's a diehard Bruins fan. And I think there are people in Boston that would be very happy if Tuukka Rask were to step aside. Just saying. I'm not saying that's me.
That's very surprising.
There are a lot of people that would say that they're sad to see him go. I mean, I'm not emotionally tied to it one way or the other. But I don't think Tuukka Rask is the be-all, end-all of goaltending, to be honest with you. I think he was a perfect backup when they won. He was young. Then he took over. And I think that contract was way too much for him. I think you could have had a goalie in there. Any goalie playing pretty good could have helped that team win. So
yeah, the problem is pretty good is not going to win you championships.
Well, he's only good. He's not great. He's good.
You think he's good because he's playing on Boston and the style of play?
Yes. I think a lot of Tuukka Rask's success comes from the team he's on versus the how good of a goalie he is. Obviously, he's a very good goalie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Tuukka Rask isn't a good goalie, because I don't appreciate people who say that NHL players suck. You've never heard me say that, and you never will. But I'll give you the honest opinion and tell you that if you took Tuukka Rask and put him on the Sabres this year at a time where we said goaltending was an issue, I don't know that he would. I think he would have made the team better, but I don't know that he makes your team a playoff team.
Can I let you in on something? I'm looking at his career statistics. In 536 games, Tuukka Rask, his goals against average is 2.26, and his save percentage is 0.922. This guy is a stud.
His numbers are a stud. He has a good team too, Riv.
I get that, but I mean, you're like, taking what do you away think, from this what being would, a okay, very good goalie.
So I got scalded. I got scalded recently, and I say recently, like in the last month, for saying that Boston was team tough, which I still think they play a physical game. So that being said, what would be their second most, I guess, favorable attribute?
I would say probably their team defense.
Okay. There you go. You answered my question for me. I'm glad I was right again.
You know, the funny thing is, and when you mentioned right now about the Boston Bruins being team tough, they are tough.
Oh, I don't say that. Don't. I'm not going to name names. I don't have to. Regular listeners on this show know who absolutely verbally scalded me on the air.
Why? Who was that?
I can't say. He's a friend of mine. I love the man, but I'm not going to tell you that Paul Hamill, I mean, somebody scalded me on the air for saying that they were.
Paulie Hambone?
The bone himself.
The bone himself.
He said, you know, you weren't there. I don't know where you were. You might even have the coronavirus. So you're down for the count, and Hammy comes in to fill in like last second, heroic actions on his part. C block of the first hour. I talk about Bruins being team tough, and I think Krejci got in a fight that night. And Bone, if you're listening, you should be laughing because he buried me, and I didn't want to get into it with him because I didn't want to like verbally, start yelling with him because we were going to yell at each other. And Krejci, he said, "But they were team tough, Krejci, you wouldn't have to fight that guy." I'm like, I can't remember who he was fighting. I'm like, well, he's not fighting. Yeah, Jamie
that
Benn.
That was Joe Pavelski.
Yes. Joe Pavelski. Like, whoa, look out. Look out. He's in serious danger. Joe Pavelski throwing couch pillows.
Joe Pavelski's a tough little bugger.
Sounds crazy, a feisty little guy.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at there's no fighters on Boston per se. Like a Brad Marchand, when you're talking team toughness, where's Bone? I want to pick a bone with Bone. Paul Hamilton, if you're listening right now, the Boston Bruins are a team tough unit.
Do you know Brad what's Marchand, funny,
Riff? Patrice Bergeron, Torrey Krug, Krejci, Coyle, DeBrusk, McAvoy, Curly, Carlo, Chara, Wagner. I mean, their whole team, when you're talking team toughness, you're talking if crap hits the fan, okay, that your boys are going to be in there to have your back. That is a team tough. That's what you're looking for. I think the Boston Bruins exemplify team toughness. They're not fighters. But if their teammates need, you know, help, they will be there for them.
Well, I appreciate you taking my side there. And also, basically makes me look good when you talk about team defense. It goes back to Tuukka Rask as I dial this conversation back in here. Tuukka Rask is the beneficiary of playing on a very, 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 very – can I throw a couple more very, verys in there?
Yeah.
Very, very, very good team.
They play the right way is what they do. And you know what? They're the type of team that you have to play an exceptionally good game to beat Boston because they play the same way each and every night. Now, that's been brought upon by the guys that lead in the dressing room, the Brad Marchand, the Patrice Bergeron, the Torrey Krug, the Dana Chara. They're the ones who have passed along to guys like Charlie Coyle, Jake DeBrusk, all these type of players that are younger, Pasternak. They understand how to play proper hockey because they've learned
from the Bergerons and the Zdena Charas, and those guys have an extremely high standard. They think defense first, but they allow their talent, once they have finished playing great defense, they allow their offensive talent to take over. I love the way Boston plays.
Okay, so anyway, back at it. So you said you were, before we get out of here, Kyle Oposto is going to join us in a couple minutes. Wait, paper, rock, scissors, hold your hand up. Who gets, no, because I'm going hard at him right out of the gate. I'm telling you why we're doing this before. I'm going hard after him right out of the gate, and I'm going to show him a lot of love for how well he was playing. So I'm doing that first, or paper, rock, scissors to decide, because I'm telling him right off the bat how good he's been playing all season long.
You're the greatest, eh? Oh, my God. You just love to pump everybody's tires. Look at you. You're such a great team player. Well done.
You know why, Riff? Do you know why? You know why, Riff? And this goes for everybody out there listening. You know why? Because it's a lot easier to deflate than inflate.
I don't even know what that means. Take us to break, though.
It means it's a lot easier to be negative than it is to find a pump and pump that bad boy up.
Oh, wow.
You get what I'm, yeah, wow. That's how I think. See, Lou Lamoriello in the Power of Positive Thinking books, I need to write a book. I guarantee Lou would read it. We'll talk more about that later. Ralph Krueger at 11, Kyle Oposto coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yes, hello. Is Kyle home, please?
Kyle's home.
What's up?
Oh, well, not much. Just hanging out at home. How about you guys?
You sound thrilled.
You sound really excited right now.
Well, you know, having human-to-human interaction with other adults is it's always a plus these days.
Hey, you know what? This is basically what Rivs does all the time when it comes to people. Rivs is all about social distancing.
he's been training for this for a long time, and now it's his time to
drive. He's been training for this for 45 years. So what have you been doing with yourself?
We've just been kind of hanging out, going outside as much as we can. You know, last week it was decently nice, cold over the weekend, but definitely last week we had some structure for the kids with school, and you know, we had different classes for my oldest, and like reading, writing, math type of stuff, and a couple of things on the computer, and so that helped. We got a lot of gym classes, a couple of recesses a day, you know, lunch, and then the weekend was a bit of a free-for-all with the kids. But yeah, I mean, we've just been kind of hanging out and just, you know, in this time, like, all you can really do is enjoy it. Like, there's nothing you can do about it, so you might as well just try and enjoy your time with the people that are around you.
Don't lie. Have you been pigging out on some food that you wouldn't normally eat when you're trying to be a professional athlete?
Yes.
What's the choice of food?
whatever reason, it's been bagels. I don't know why. I never eat bagels, and I've just been hammering cinnamon raisin bagels for some reason.
Oh, nice. What do you throw on there?
Are we now putting bagels into a food that's not good for you? I was talking a bag of chips, like a full bag of ketchup chips. Or...
Like I thought, like Kyle, I thought you were going to say, oh, I ate a whole bag of nibs the other night or something. Like I ate half a family sized bag of salt and vinegar the other night. My tongue was on fire.
No, I'm not a huge, like chips kind of guy. I'll have some sweets. Like I got a sweet tooth for sure, but like I'm a big guy and I'm getting older now, so like I gotta really like watch my carb intake, and so now that it's just we just really had nothing to do. The bagels are just here, and I've just been eating them. Cream cheese and jelly. That's what I've been doing.
So how much do you weigh right now?
Oh, there's no way I'm stepping on the scale right now.
Do you actually think you put on weight in the last week?
Honestly, probably not. I'm probably the exact same. Because, like, I'll have a bagel and then I won't eat for a while. And I'm still working out. And so I honestly probably haven't gained any weight. I just haven't stepped on the scale.
So what are you doing for your workouts?
I've just been kind of looking at some old programs that I've used in the summers and taking little bits and pieces from there. And I got a ton of bands at the house, and so been using some of those, just like doing some warm-up stuff, and then trying to do a little bit of explosive stuff when I can. I mean, I'm a bit limited. I've kind of had some nagging things all year, so I can't do like a ton, but we actually ordered a bike too, like a stationary bike, so we'll have that hopefully by the middle of the week, and then they can hop on that and get some cardio in that way.
Like what kind of bike are we talking? Like an Airdyne? Are you talking like one of those what were the Fitron things that like what kind of bike are you talking about?
So we actually ordered a Peloton. And something that I've been looking at for a long time, and it just seemed like I had actually been meaning to order one like the whole year, and I just hadn't done it. And now that I kind of have some time on my hands, we ordered one. So got a Peloton coming.
Very cool.
You're not going to hear any excitement in my tone. Peloton. I mean, you're talking to a bunch of your teammates?
Yeah, I've been talking to the guys a little bit, just checking in. It was a bit of a mad dash for everybody to kind of get home to their families and get where they wanted to be for this this kind of quarantine period. So yeah, everybody's settled kind of I think where they're going to be, and I mean we've been in communication for sure.
So where are you? Are you still in Western New York, or did you go? Did you go home somewhere else?
Oh no, I'm here. We're home. We sold our place back in Minnesota. So I mean, we're here for the long haul.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So how many times have you watched the movie Frozen with your little girl?
Well, it's. Frozen 2 has been on every single day, and so I've come to it's been pretty crazy actually. So my oldest is 6, my oldest daughter is 6, and my youngest is 2. So when Frozen 1 came out, Ellie was just like all about it, and that's all we did was just hammer Frozen all day. And then now Livy only watches Frozen 2, so it's just been crazy the time gap between them, and they're just. They were completely hooked on Frozen at the same ages.
Well, listen, you got Frozen going, you got your kids. We know you got to go. Can I ask you, or can I just talk hockey with you for 1 second? Like with the season where it is and how you were playing. I mean, I Riv and I don't know if Riv wants to say anything, but you were playing great, man. I mean, it was fun to watch you play with Gergensen and Larson every single night. We always knew we were going to get a good effort and a lot more offensive scoring chances than I think people expected. So, I mean, I don't know, like, does that weigh on you when it comes to a point in the season like this where season gets maybe put on hold because of how well you guys were playing?
Yeah, you know, it causes you to really kind of self-reflect and look at the season as a whole. And, you know, with the way that our line was playing and kind of developing chemistry throughout the whole year, it was a lot of fun. You know, this year was or has been an extremely rewarding one for myself. You know, was definitely asked to play a role at the beginning of the season that's been different to, you know, what I've been accustomed to in the past. And you know, with Larry and Z, it's been awesome. And can't say enough good things about those guys and how those guys have played and the way that they've elevated, you know, their games, I think, offensively has been awesome this year. And the three of us just found some chemistry and we just ran with it. To start the year, we played well early, and then we kind of hit a bit of a lull. And then, you know, when I kind of came back from injury there, you know, a month and a half ago or whatever it was, we really started to play, get back to our offensive game, and we started to put some pucks in the net. And it's just been fun to play with those two every night because you know exactly what you're going to get. And I think that as a line, that's really important when, you know, you can have some consistency with a couple of other guys.
How much did Ralph Krueger have to do with that?
Were you guys
on many nights, you guys played a tremendous amount and was given a huge role in shutting down other teams' top lines. What was the message that you were hearing from him?
Well, he just told us to play, you know, just play our game. And, you know, we knew going into a lot of nights kind of which line we were going to get and what's expected of us. And you know, when you're going out there and playing against teams' top lines, you know that, hey, look, number one job is to shut the other line down, and because it's going to give our team the best chance to win. And a big part of that for our game was going to score and going to create offensive opportunities, because if the other team's best lines are stuck in their own zone, they're not going to be able to create the offensive chances that they like, and it's going to frustrate them. It wears them down. You know, I've been on the other side of that. When you're playing against lines that just play simple and do things the right way, it's not an easy thing, you know, as a skilled guy to overcome and to just stay with it mentally for the whole 60 minutes. And I think that was probably the thing that we did, you know, the best this year was just stick to our game no matter what. You know, it was, you know, if one guy's struggling on a line, like you just keep doing the right things, and it forces you to kind of get into the game, and it forces you to just move your feet and do the right things. And it was a ton of fun to accept that role for the three of us and play that role. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, before we let you go, do you think that being on the other side of those types of checkers made you kind of see what it was you guys were trying to do from that different perspective and give you a better angle of it?
Yeah, it definitely gives me a little bit, you know, different experience. But, you know, I just tried to go play my game and – like I said, play the game that was asked of me. And, you know, it's been in the league for 12 years now and been up and down, played some different roles, but I feel like kind of always ingrained in me was to play hard. And so I feel like that's been number one is the work ethic. And so I tried to never make it matter who I was playing, whether I was playing a first line role, a fourth line role, and just tried to do the best with what I had. And you know, with these guys, it's definitely been easy to just continue with that work ethic and then, you know, mold into something that happened organically with our line.
Kyle, thanks for your time, and enjoy the time with your family during the quarantine. And obviously, to you and all the other rest of everybody else in the hockey world, we hope to see everybody back on the ice as soon as possible.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And yeah, enjoy the time with your families as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Awesome.
We appreciate your time more than I'm sure you appreciate being on. Rib, isn't that the truth? you know what?
Though,
thanks, man. You know what, Riv? I was going to come. Obviously, I joked with you before, like come out of the gate with talking about hockey, but that line was playing unreal.
Yes, they were.
That line was, I mean, say what you want. Every night we talked about the Sabres, whether it was good or bad. We always talked top line and, you know, how the bookends and the Larson line. You had the Geico line and the Larson, Gergensen, Oposo line were always the ones that were consistent and doing their jobs.
Yeah, you know what was interesting for me? I find that once Dominic Cahoon came into the lineup, is I find when things changed a little bit. This player is a player that has a tremendous amount of skill. He plays the game properly. He seemed to have chemistry with Johansson, and there was some line juggling for the first time, and Cahoon, Johansson and Olofsson line started to play outstanding hockey, and it gave more depth throughout our lineup.
That's a guy I want to ask Ralph Kruger about it a lot. Is adding a player like that to the lineup to allow you to move players around and tinker with it. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, Riv, do a quick daily dose of Lou Lamoriello. Did you hear what Lou Lamoriello was saying? Did a little Q&A with the fans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Every answer. I mean, I can't sit and claim that I know Lou Lamoriello as well as a lot of other people, but I think when you play for him and play 1 year for him, you learn a lot about his philosophies and the way he thinks. And he talks about old school and facial hair and all that stuff. So it's pretty interesting, some of his quotes. Big Lou Lamoriello fan. Big Lou Lamoriello fan here. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You want to go ahead and just tell me what your brother was writing, Riv?
Well, my brother, who's listening to the show here today, had some pretty compelling evidence against your Tuukka Rask, how he's, you know, he's no good because he plays for the Boston Bruins. And then my brother brought up,
you know what?
My brother brought up a teammate that you played with. Marty Brodeur played on the best defensive team in the National Hockey League, probably history. So does that mean that Marty Brodeur is not good?
Oh my God.
Ken Dryden used to stand there in a pose while the play was going on at the end of the other end of the ice for the Montreal Canadiens. The old famous pose, his blocker sitting on top of the butt end of his stick. This was during play. You know why? Okay. Because he got 10 shots a game.
Okay.
Does that mean that Ken Dryden's not a good goaltender? Give a little respect to Tuukka Rask. He's played exceptionally well in his
What's
career.
The difference? What's the difference between Ken Dryden and Marty Brodeur and Tuukka Rask? It's like, okay, let's play the Sesame Street game. Which one of these just doesn't belong to? Do 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 do. Ken Dryden, Marty Brodeur, Tuukka Rask. Several Stanley Cups between them as starters. Do 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 do. Tuukka Rask is the one who Finkel of the best. He's the one who doesn't buckle under the pressure, but he does. Marty Brodeur still made huge saves to save Stanley Cup Finals games. So did Ken Dryden. Tuukka Rask hasn't won yet as a number one. He's a great
Finnish?
He's a great regular season goalie on a really, 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 really good defensive team. A good team, tough team too, Paul Hamilton, paging at PHAM1717. But the fact of the matter is that he hasn't gotten the job done in the playoffs. So, like, for instance, got to say Petrangelo shot last year. Got to have that one. That's not a Stanley Cup Game 7, you know. Like, Brodeur would have had that.
Yeah. Are you done? Are you going to sit there and tell me the Boston Bruins of 2019-20 is the same as the New Jersey Devils back in the late 90s or 2000s, where you have Scott Stevens, you got Niedermeyer, Ken Danico, the list goes on. They were stacked, and they played a defensive – they only allowed 15 shots a game.
You know who else they had? Lou Lamoriello. Remember I was telling you about there were quotes about from Lou? How about this one? So how about this? So he was asked, he did a Q&A with fans. And he was asked about the confidence in the team being able to sign all three of their soon-to-be RFAs, Barzal, defenseman Ryan Pulock and Devin Taves. And he basically said, we can and we will. And they have every intention to sign all three. And then they said, what if he was offer-sheeted? That was Barzal. Would you match it? And he responded with yes. Now, the reason why this is so relevant to the Sabres is because if you saw the comparables online not long ago, you had Barzal at 9-something and you had Sam Reinhart at 9-something. How much is Barzal going to get?
I would put Barzal with what he's done in the National Hockey League, I would put him right up around the numbers that he was quoted as. And that was around what, $9.5 million or 9.7? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was something like that.
It was like 9.7 million. I can see Matthew Barzal signing in between $9 and $10 million. I think that he is the new face of the franchise on Long Island. You know, he's the number one center, and he's just a young kid.
What you're saying is that you think he's worth the same as Jack Eichel?
Well, what I will say is this. Jack Eichel signed his deal 2 years ago, Petey. So every single year, the market changes. If you were to tell me Matthew Barzal needed to sign 2 years ago, no, I think he would be making $8 million. The thing is, it's not. He's 2 years beyond Jack Eichel
and his contract. I get that. I understand that point, and I don't want to just argue this point. We have to go, by the way. I have to hang up on you because Coach Kruger's coming on in a couple minutes. But, like, I guess I have an issue with that. I have an issue with that. And
you have an issue with what?
Well, with the fact that a player, just because it's 2 years later, gets as much or more than a guy just because of the timing of the deal. That's why I kind of like how the NFL does it.
Brother. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. Let's go to break. Okay, now talking. You're nuts.
So, Riv, I guess, well, my point is that so just because the time changes and everything, you're just going to allow those players to gobble up more of the salary cap? Like, if you should have Connor McDavid is 12.
They're not gobbling up more of the salary cap.
He's the best player in the league. He's the best player in the league. Connor McDavid, 12.5. It doesn't matter that he signed his deal 3 years ago. You shouldn't be able to make more.
Look at Sidney
Crosby.
You shouldn't
be able to make as much or close to the same amount as players that are on different stratospheres. But yet we're going to have players, just because of the timing of the deal, in 5 years, because the cap's going to go up so much, that are not nearly as good as Connor McDavid making $13-14 million because I get that the answer is yes to that, but I have an issue with that. I have an issue with that. With foreseeing that in the future. So that's all I'm saying.
Go and have your issue.
We got to
go and have your issue with that.
You know why? Pardon?
We can go talk and about have this. your
We can talk about this at 11:30, but we got to write this down. Write down that you're taking issue with something that I said, because I know we'll forget about it, and we'll revisit it at 11 o'clock or 11:30 after Ralph Krueger. All right? Sound good? Okay. Sit tight. We're going to come back with the coach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.